Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
Meet Dorita, dog owner, and her dog Mortimer, known as Dory and Morty to their family and friends. This fictitious human-canine couple will help illustrate some of the most common training mistakes I've encountered in decades of practice. When Dory gets Morty as a young puppy, she knows exactly how she's going to train him. Because she loves him so much, naturally, she'll use an all-positive training method. This inadvertently sets her up to make several mistakes. First, she interprets that all positive personally and ethically. She sees herself as a more moral person as well as loving animal owner for choosing this approach. Naive, perhaps, but there's a lot of support for it out there. Unfortunately, this all-positive view of herself blinds Dory to any flaws some of the training recommendations carrying the all-positive logo may have on Morty's welfare. Because some of the more ardent disciples of the all-positive approach also tout it as fun and easy, it doesn't bother Dory that she takes a more casual approach to training. She doesn't always follow the protocols recommended by more experienced trainers. In her mind, it's all positive. What difference does it make if she cuts a few corners now and then? Dory also joins as legions who perceive treats as the only reward worth considering in all positive training. It's the fastest and easiest of the options. Besides, that's what others are doing, and they call themselves positive trainers, so it must be all right. Dory's beliefs and the kind of bonds these create with Morty begin causing her problems when he's still a puppy. Like all teething puppies, he loves to chew. And he particularly loves to chew articles that soothe his gums and carry Dory's scent. Her shoes, handbags, her backpack are among his favorites. But even plastic wrappers in the trash or her dirty undies will do. In fact, he likes chewing these objects so much, he doesn't want to give them up. When Dory reads up on this subject, she decides the best way to deal with the problem is the trade-up. Every time he takes something he shouldn't, she offers Morty a treat more enticing than the object he has in his mouth, and he drops a stolen object. That sounds so friendly and easy that she quickly becomes a big fan of the approach. I just love the trade-up because Morty is forever stealing things he shouldn't, she tells her friends enthusiastically. Unfortunately, Dory ignores the tragic flaw that underlies this seemingly benign and, to some, all-positive training solution. It triggers a domino effect of problem canine behaviors that puts Dory and Morty's relationship and his health at risk. It happens like this. Lulled by her image of herself as a morally superior treat-dispensing positive trainer, Dory glosses over, ignores, or possibly never learns the basics of animal learning. Consequently, she doesn't realize that every time she presents Morty with a yummy treat trade in exchange for a stolen object, she rewards him for stealing it. Even more troubling, over time, the treats create a barrier between her and Morty, and especially his mouth. Initially, she denies this, but subsequent events force her to accept that, no matter how much she says she loves her dog, she's afraid to handle him except on his terms. If he's not in the mood, She tries to bribe him with a treat. If that doesn't work, she backs off. As Dory hides more and more objects from her object-seeking dog, the increasingly stressed dog becomes less discriminating about his owner's scented canine pacifiers. He also becomes better at locating these objects, including those in locations Dory never considers. Like the small plastic container of ibuprofen he locates and removes from the bottom shelf of her medicine cabinet. While Morty cracks open the container and begins chewing it and its contents, she races to the fridge looking for a suitable trade-up. The idea of opening her dog's mouth and removing a foreign object, even one she knows is potentially deadly, never crosses her mind. She can't imagine doing something so unpositive to Morty, even to save his life. Or so she says. But in reality, by the time this incident occurs, she's so afraid of doing anything to Morty he doesn't want her to do that it nearly costs him his life. Even so, it's a lucky day for Morty because Dory's home and notices him chewing the container of medication. She also knows that ibuprofen is highly toxic to dogs. Consequently, she can tell the staff that her 60-pound dog ate at least two 200-milligram ibuprofen tablets when they arrive at the emergency clinic later. Consider another incident that occurs when now 2-year-old Morty and Dory take a walk about, enjoying the summer weather. She gives him the come command and waves a treat. He ignores her and takes off. She yells at him and takes off after him as he heads for the road. As she runs, she becomes more and more fearful that a car will hit him. When he bolts across the busy road, she dashes across after him. Vehicles swerve, horns blare, and curses and obscene gestures surround her. She feels mortified. Morty is oblivious because he's located some dead animal remains and stops to roll in them. By now, Dory's in full fear fight mode. She roughly yanks Morty off the carcass, yells at him, swats him on the butt, drags him home by the collar, and practically throws him into the house. After she has a good cry to dissipate the remainder of her fear, she feels overwhelmed by the magnitude of her sins. She seeks out Morty, who hides behind the couch and begs his forgiveness. She offers the fearful dog a bowl full of ice cream to prove how much she loves him, a trick she learned from the treat-dispensing veterinary staff during Morty's visits. They didn't give him a bowl full of chunky monkey, of course, but they did introduce her to the concept of feeding fearful animals to make them love you. For better or worse, Morty's gut can handle even the most unhealthy food equals love offering when highly stressed. Had he refused her offering because he was one of those stressed animals whose gut shut down under similar circumstances, she would have felt guiltier than ever. While Dory does what she must do in her quest for forgiveness and redemption, Morty must deal with the possibility that he's living with an unpredictable, possibly mentally deranged human he doesn't understand at all. His rolling gut would love to upchuck the dead animal parts in premium ice cream, but his owner is clinging to him like a leech. Let's leave Dory and Morty crammed behind the couch with the empty ice cream bowl and briefly mention one last problem that may arise when people make an emotional rather than knowledge-based all positive training treat connection. Animal overweight and obesity. On the one hand, this result seems both obvious and inevitable because the training teaches the animal to perceive food as something other than food. As we know from the studies of inductive learning in animals, once an animal makes such a connection, it happens much faster, as do any related connections. And while animals make the food equals love and related connections, their human partners replace trust-based one-to-one interactions with their animals with food. And that also becomes a facilitated human response over time. So much so, it seems perfectly normal. So those are the problems. No wonder so many people are looking for all positive, fast, and easy solutions for them when they arise.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore, by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.